It's the morning of March 15th. We're chasing a tip about a man who's leaving the country. Our sources tell us he just took a carry-on bag through security that was packed with $1 million cash. You can do that as long as you fill out one of these government forms. The money is usually headed to the Middle East, Dubai, and points beyond. Our sources say last year alone, more than $100 million cash left MSP in carry-on luggage.
How much money do you think has been sent around fraudulently here inside Minnesota?
Over the years, I would say anywhere from $80 to $100 billion.
The Somalian fraud is nationwide.
Columbus, Ohio has the second largest Somali population after Minneapolis. The money is in suitcases in Columbus. It flies to Minnesota. It goes to Minneapolis, then the couriers in Minneapolis pick up that money, combine it with the money in Minnesota, and take it overseas.
What's the name of the child care here?
I don't know.
I ask, has this place ever been in child care? The woman says no. But obviously, Washington state records tell a completely different story.
Yeah, this specific address is locked into Washington state records as a daycare.
Yeah.
They have made $210,000. Just this year.
And how many kids, again, is this place registered for?
Oh, that's the fun part. Three.
Three kids?
So this place are licensed for nine children.
Okay, so this place is licensed for nine.
But they have six slots available.
Right.
Which means they only have three kids, and they've raked in $210,000 in tax money.
The Somali Education Resource Center. Suite 301 here at 299 East Granville Road in Dublin, Ohio. Now, the deal is that $14 million into this center here. This is a single office. And by the way, there's nothing inside it. We've already looked. It is very, very, very much dark, and it looks like there's maybe a couch inside.
The Democrats continue to play the race card, of course.
Whether you're Somalian, Italian, Indian, Irish, Jewish, I don't care. If you're stealing billions of dollars from American taxpayers, funneling it to terror networks, you do not belong here. That's not called immigration in America. That is called criminality.
What do you make of this argument of failure to assimilate and sort of ruining America? How do you understand this?
I mean, when I think about Stephen Miller and his white supremacist rhetoric, it reminds me of the way the Nazis described Jewish people.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people, because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing.
The idea that this is a white nation that needs to be preserved is a fascinatingly disgusting view.
He's always been a racist, a bigot, a xenophobic.
The one place where we thought we would never experience this is the U.S. goddamn states.
How is one race being targeted when that supposedly victimized race is robbing Americans from every walk of life?
I'm a licensed private investigator in California. I started looking into state records, and I found ghost daycares. These are places where the state inspectors showed up. There would be 28 kids enrolled, and there were no kids there in the middle of the day and in the middle of the week.
The Attorney General of Washington State has called the journalists that are investigating the fraud that's going on. Yeah, that's apparently harassment.
At Hilali Safia Child Care Center in Kent, Washington, they have received $863,000 since 2023.
I don't see any signs right off the bat that it's a child care.
Washington Attorney General Nick Brown has labeled it potential harassment that could lead to hate crime reports, emphasizing that unsubstantiated accusations and door knocking disrupts providers and families.
A lot of this is generated by the president and Elon Musk tweeting out unverified reports in Minnesota, and that quickly, you know, brew a storm across the nation. What I'm concerned about is YouTubers showing up at your porch and filming children.
This coming from an attorney general that is aggressively targeting Christians. But
if you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot going on over here. Happy Thursday, everyone. Big day ahead of us. Big, big day. We're going to take you live to Davos later in the show. We've got some incredible people that want to share what's going on the ground there. I'm talking about Data Republican. As many of you know, on X, she has done some incredible work digging into all of the corruption, where your money's going, and also exposing George Soros and how he's trying to destroy this country. So we look forward to having Jenica, a.k.a. Data Republican, on the program as well. She's a member of the deaf community, so she'll be joined with her interpreter as well. And then she'll also be joined by Larry Taunton, who's also is in the area. They're all hanging out. Larry Taunton, Data Republican, and her interpreter. And the videos that they're posting are actually quite funny. Apparently when in Davos, you drink a lot. And they've been doing that. And they've been living up to the party in Switzerland. And so that is what they've been up to. But they've also been digging and asking questions and making a lot of people feel very uncomfortable. So we look forward to having Data Republican on, as well as Larry Taunton as well, and their interpreter, which we're very excited about. We're also excited to have Sally Pipes on the program later today, because over on the Hill, there's going to be hearings, and it's going to be some of the top healthcare CEOs, plus CVS is going to be present, and we could just predict how that's going to go. It's probably going to result in a lot of Congress members yelling at these CEOs. But President Trump is really trying to take this fight on to make healthcare affordable in this country, and that's the big one for him. So we are going to talk with Sally, who's been an expert. She's been fighting against Obamacare for a while now, when the Clintons were looking to cause we'll say chaos on our healthcare system, even worse than what it is. She was pushing back on that as well. So Sally will break it all down for us, because it's a very complex issue that's worth your attention, of course. We'll also be diving into Jack Smith, because Jack Smith is testifying today in front of Congress, obviously. And it's going to get quite interesting. As many of you guys know, House Republicans had him testify behind closed doors prior to it was the deposition. And unfortunately, it shouldn't have happened behind closed doors. Even Jack Smith saying that I was looking to have a public hearing. So now we finally have that public hearing. It's coming your way. It will start in less than an hour. We'll bring you straight there when Jack Smith begins to speak. Because you and I, well, we want to hear what he's got to say, because he's got a lot to answer for. So a lot happening on that front that we look forward to talking about with you today. But let's kick things off with what's happening today in Davos, Switzerland. As many of you guys have probably seen, you know, President Trump keeps touting this Board of Peace. And we're going to play clip one for you, because this is what just happened moments ago. They started signing to bring this officially together. Take a listen to clip one.
If President Trump and all of the Board of Peace members could please join the president around the table, the president is now going to sign the inaugural resolution that will resolve the Board of Peace's Gaza mandate per the United Nations Security Council Resolution 2803.
All All right, obviously a big day for President Trump getting that officially signed with a couple of world leaders there. Not everyone's on board with this. In fact, they've gotten massive pushback because folks are worried this is going to replace the U.N. And, I mean, it wouldn't be too bad if we replaced the U.N. But President Trump saying, no, the U.N. and his Board of Peace are going to work side by side, and that's how this is going to go about. But Norway and Switzerland both saying, eh, we don't want any part in this. France has also declined, it looks like. And the U.K. says, we're not going to yet join. So that's interesting in itself. And Canada and China aren't going to jump on board either. That all makes sense, right? Because those are all the globalists who have captured those countries. So this all makes sense. I want to remind you guys, we're keeping our eye right now on the WEF because Zelensky just jumped up to the podium and he's now speaking, probably begging for more money that he shouldn't be given. But we'll bring it to you when something does occur that's worth your time. As of right now, though, Zelensky, who is making his way to the podium, is probably going to be asking for more money. But we're not going to bring you there just because we don't want it to waste your time. But luckily, we have some great production teams here in the building, some great producers who are going to be listening in and let us know if there's anything important that happens. All right, folks, we're also paying attention to what President Trump is saying. President Trump said yesterday that he actually did, in fact, invite Putin, that's obviously the Russian leader, to join the Board of Peace. Now, Putin has not yet announced whether he's going to be joining, but he did say that he is going to be looking at this. Putin told Russian Security Council that the foreign minister will study the proposal and will respond whenever they're prepared to respond. So at least Putin has received an invite. President Trump trying to extend the arm of peace to Vladimir Putin as well. President Trump was also moments ago talking about his Board of Peace. Now, again, this happened in the wee hours of the morning. Most of you probably weren't even awake. I was, though, so I was watching live. But President Trump gave us a little bit of description of what he sees when he thinks about the Board of Peace, what his vision is for this Board of Peace in clip two. Take a listen.
As part of this historic record of major peace initiatives, today we're announcing more details regarding the Board of Peace, so important. This board has the chance to be one of the most consequential bodies ever created, and it's my enormous honor to serve as its chairman. I was very honored when they asked me to do it. We had an idea to do it, and then they came. They said, you be the chairman. But I take it very seriously. We have a great group of people and incredible young people that are leading it from within. It's running beautifully, started already. And every country, just about every country, wants to be a part of it. And we just sent out the letters a couple of days ago, and these are just the countries that are here. They happen to be in Davos. So we said, we'd be honored if you wanted to join us up on the stage. And it's really great. They're friends of mine. Yeah, every one of them is a friend of mine. A couple I like, a couple I don't like. No, I like, actually, this group, I like every single one of them. Can you believe it? Usually I have about two or three that I can't stand. Usually I have two or three that I don't like. I don't find them up here. I like every one of these people.
Thank you.
No, they're great people. They're great leaders. And the Board of Peace is composed of leaders, the top leaders in the world, actually.
All right. So a little over exaggeration, but he does have some incredible people there front and center. Now, I not a big Jared Kushner fan, but Jared Kushner was also speaking at this announcement of the Board of Peace. And it's interesting because I think a lot of the conspiracy theorists got it right. This war between Israel and Gaza, well, it was just a way for profit at this point. That's what, kind of what it looks like right now. I mean, you have Jared Kushner who's on the ground talking about remodeling Gaza. And of course, there's a bunch of really wealthy real estate developers jumping all over the plan. But he outlined what his vision is for what it would look like to go about and to rebuild Gaza into a massive big city. I mean, take a listen to clip three first.
Going forward, number one thing is going to be security. Obviously, we've been working very closely with the Israelis to figure out a way through de-escalation. And the next phase is working with Hamas on demilitarization, which I'll talk about in a second. But without security, nobody's going to make investments. Nobody's going to come, you know, build there. We need investments in order to start giving jobs. We want to take these people. 85% of the aid of Gaza, 85% of the GDP of Gaza has been aid for a long time. That's not sustainable. It doesn't give these people dignity. It doesn't give them hope. And so we want to use free market economy principles. A lot of what President Trump spoke about that he's doing in America, we want to bring the same mindset, the same approach to a place like Gaza to give these people the ability to thrive and have a good life. Let's see. So on the aid, I mentioned the UN. So now people are talking about famine. 100% of the food needs are met, and that's been overabundance. The cost of goods have gone down tremendously. Over 55,000 trucks have gone in, and over 1.4 million pallets. So it's been the largest humanitarian effort done into a war zone that anyone's been able to tell us about. This really has been a great joint effort that everyone's been able to do. So we did a master plan. We brought in, I thank you, Kir Gabay, who's one of the most successful real estate developers and brilliant people I know. He's volunteered to do this, not for profit, really because of his heart. He wants to do this. And we've developed ways to redevelop Gaza. Gaza, as President Trump's been saying, has amazing potential. And this is for the people of Gaza. We've developed it into zones. In the beginning, we were toying with the idea of saying, let's build a free zone, and then we have a Hamas zone. And then we said, you know what, let's just plan for catastrophic success. Hamas signed a deal to demilitarize. That is what we are going to enforce. People ask us what our plan B is. We do not have a plan B. We have a plan. We signed an agreement. We are all committed to making that agreement work. There's a master plan. We'll be doing it in phasing. In the Middle East, they build cities like this in 2-3 million people. They build this in 3 years. And so stuff like this is very doable if we make it happen. Rafah will start with. This will show a lot of workforce housing. We think this could be done in 2-3 years. We've already started removing the rubble and doing some of the demolition. And then New Gaza. It could be a hope. It could be a destination, have a lot of industry, and really be a place that the people there can thrive, have great employment. Once this starts going, we think there should be 100% full employment and opportunity for everybody there. And we have a lot of data on what can be, but we think that this really gives the Gazan people an opportunity to live their aspirations. But it all starts with security, and it all starts with governance.
Now, as you heard there, he's got big plans that might not be actually realistic, considering the fact that Hamas is still running the show. And I know the president's very persistent on making sure that he disarms them. Talking about Hamas, but the reality of it is, of course, they're not going to do just that. And you're also talking about people who have been taught since very early ages to hate and to kill off non-believers. So I don't see this going well. I don't see Gaza becoming a place where you and I both want to go on vacation, regardless of how you feel about Israel. It's just not a realistic plan, but Jared Kushner is still pushing it. And by the way, wasn't Jared Kushner the one that didn't want to join in on President Trump's campaign at all for the 2024 race? So he kind of just makes his way back in, although he said he was going to keep himself out when President Trump was running for office. Now he finds a way to slither on in there. It's not very exciting for me. Not very exciting for me at all. But we're keeping our eye on Davos. Many of you guys know, like I mentioned in the open of the show, we're going to go take you live to Davos with Larry Taunton, Jenica Pounds, who is AKA Data Republican, as well as her interpreter, who will be joining us in the third hour of the program live from Davos to break down the very latest that's happening there. But I want to switch gears a little bit because, well, President Trump yesterday gave us an update in regards to replacing Jerome Powell as Fed chair. As many of you guys know, his term is about to be up and President Trump is going to be able to fill that seat very, very soon. So he provided the media with an update yesterday. Take a listen to clip four.
I'd say we're down to three, but we're down to two, and I probably can tell you we're down to maybe one in my mind. But
did Rick Reeder impress you in recent?
Very impressive. Yeah, he's been there for...
Because for a while, the betting markets had wars in the late...
Well, Rick is very good. They're all good. You know, all three are good. All three would be, I think, good. We have a problem with the man that's there now. He's too late. He's always too late, except when it comes to politics for the other side, where he was actually too early.
So good news for the rest of us. Jerome Powell's almost on his way out. And yesterday, by the way, folks, over in the Supreme Court, it's worth noting that the opening arguments regarding Lisa Cook, who is one of the higher-ups over at the Fed, she had her and her attorneys had their opening arguments over at the Supreme Court yesterday. Jerome Powell was present, as well as the former chair of the Fed. And it didn't go so bad, but it wasn't amazing. It wasn't amazing. It sounded like both sides are kind of in the middle in all of this, whether or not President Trump has the authority to can Lisa Cook. Again, we'll see how that all plays out. But yesterday was the big opening moment for them. Interesting, you guys, because I want to bring this point to your, I want to put it on your radar. As many of you guys know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had Mark Mitchell on the program, and he's the head pollster for Rasmussen. And Mark Mitchell is a pretty unique individual. He's got a lot of say in a lot of things, and it's mainly because he's got his finger on the pulse constantly. That's the reason why the White House took a meeting with him and wanted to hear where the voters were at on a lot of things. Mark Mitchell made it very clear to President Trump and his team that the housing crisis is a major crisis for Americans because Americans can't afford to buy homes in the United States. Now, at the time, the Trump administration wasn't even really addressing the issue of affordability in this country, but they've taken this issue on now, and they're not just stopping at the housing issues. We'll get to that in a minute about the credit card issue, but right now, President Trump is calling out the big companies like BlackRock, like we saw yesterday on stage. By the way, BlackRock is also running the WEF these days. Surprise, surprise. But he's calling out these massive corporations that are buying single family homes throughout the country. And he's saying he's going to put an end to all of this in clip 23. Take a listen.
They were buying up all the homes. People couldn't buy homes. You know, you have these big companies, these big corporations buying up thousands of homes and renting them or doing whatever they do with them. Some of them are flipping them for a big profit. But it got to be too much, too many. It became, you know, it's good investment. And we're not saying take them away, but we're saying that we don't want that. We want people to be able to buy a home.
Not saying take it away. We're saying that these people should not be able to, these companies should not be able to purchase homes and just force Americans to just be forever renters. The reality of it is rent is through the roof. Most Americans can't even afford to buy anymore because it's gotten so expensive to keep a roof over their head through rent. So saving is just unrealistic. And that's a combination between that and also inflation, which again, the White House continues to tell us is going down. But if you shop at a supermarket, you probably haven't seen any of the benefits of prices coming down. You know, slowly we're starting to see it, as I posted on X. Gas prices here in Texas are pretty damn good, I gotta say. But the reality of it is for so many Americans, they are barely getting by. And yes, a lot of it is going to be corporate greed, right? Because you've gotten used to paying those higher prices at the grocery store and other stores. So they just say, they're going to keep buying it. They've been able to manage it so far. But most Americans can't manage it. In fact, most Americans are putting this all into their credit cards. And the amount of Americans who have gone into credit card debt is absolutely devastating for this country because most people are living off of those cards. And those companies have gotten extremely greedy. Not only are they charging the actual card holders interest on those purchases that they've made, but then they also charge the retailers. And it's anywhere from 3 to 5% for processing fees. So they're double dipping on your issues, on your usage of their cards. And quite frankly, it is frustrating because these companies are greedy. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I believe in capitalism. But folks, these companies have taken things too far. When, you know, families are barely getting by and they're just looking to slap some groceries on a credit card so they don't have to worry about it this month, you shouldn't be charged anywhere from 23 to 30% interest. So President Trump is calling it out, and he's got plans for these credit card companies in clip 5. Take a listen.
The credit card companies are getting 28%, 30%. These people don't know they're paying that.
Right. Is it a
one-year cap of 10%, and I love it. I know it's sort of like, it sounds like the mayor of New York maybe came up with that, but the people are paying, they can't make it. They can't pay 28. You know, whatever happened to usury, they can't pay 28%. And so I said, one year, I'd like to see a one-year cap of 10% with the credit card companies. And they'd understand that. I've had calls from credit card companies, people that are friends of mine, actually. And I treat them good. I respect them greatly. But they make a lot of money. They got to give people a break. 28% interest. You know, people go out and they buy something, and if they're a little bit late, they're paying 28%. They end up filing for bankruptcy. So I would like to see that happen, yeah.
I would love to see that happening, and we're hopeful that President Trump will do just that. He's looking to cap those cards off at 10%, and that would be much needed. I feel so bad for people just trying to raise a family. It's nearly impossible these days, and that's one of the biggest issues. You know, I know we constantly talk about how we aren't having kids anymore. I mean, the reality of it is folks are waiting until their mid-30s to start having families. I know that's not for everyone in this country, But a lot of people are, and the numbers are extremely, extremely concerning and something that's worth the attention of the federal government. And we've got to crunch down on all of this. We've got to figure out a solution that doesn't put Americans into debt. And that's the big one. President Trump obviously working on a lot of very important things, and it's important to highlight that. But if you're Democrats right now, you're not liking all these wins. Obviously, there's stuff that you could be critical about with the president, but there's a lot of wins on the board. And in clip 9, one Democrat, he's a congressman, Congressman Jason Crow, is going out there and he's saying, listen, if we win, we're going to be focused on just getting rid of President Trump. Take a listen to clip 9.
This president is a danger to this country and this democracy. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at all options. All of our options must be on the table, from impeachment, the 25th Amendment, to winning elections, which is actually my primary goal right now as the recruitment chair for House Democrats, is to win elections and to take power away from Donald Trump.
To take power away from Donald Trump. You know what that is? That's an insurrectionist, folks. President Trump was rightfully elected by the American people. Then you have this Democrat, Jason Crow, going out there and saying, I'm going to just toss him out. He shouldn't be president. I get to decide. Democrats get to decide who's the president of the United States, not the American people. You see, that's the problem with these people. They're so emboldened to boldly come out there and just say, hey, your vote didn't matter. Your vote didn't matter. We are going to have the say on whether or not he stays in power. Again, midterms are not looking good for Republicans, but the reality of it is they've done this themselves. And they're letting you know, Democrats are letting you know, if they do gain the majority in the House, that they're going to be specifically focused on getting rid of President Trump. And who are they going to blame? They're going to blame us? Oh, maybe the blackpillers they'll blame. No, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. Give us something that we could brag about. Give us something that will motivate the American people to go out there and vote. You know, we have the president right now, and it's great that he wants to focus on this, but he's working on the Board of Peace and working on rebuilding Gaza. How about we rebuild American cities in this country? The infrastructure is crumbling. We know this. We know this. How about we stop asking for investors to go invest in other countries when we have a country that they could invest in here on American soil? Now, I get it. He's trying to split his time, but there's no reason to do that. You weren't elected by the Palestinians. You were elected by Americans. And it's really frustrating to sit back and watch this all unravel because, folks, when midterms come, it's not looking good for Republicans. Because when we take a glimpse over what's happening overseas, we're watching as our president is out here battling it out. He's battling it out for the Iranians. Great. He's battling it out now for the Palestinians to make sure that they have homes, to make sure they have beautiful cities. Our cities are turning to crap. Bridges are literally collapsing. Roadways are collapsing. Ask investors to invest in America, not in Gaza. It's so frustrating to hear because yet again, we're having Democrats so boldly coming out and telling you what they're going to be doing. When they get the majority, they're going to get rid of President Trump. Why is that? Why don't they fear J.D. Vance? Well, those are many questions that are worth answering, and we look forward to doing just that. But in the meantime, though, this is a real, real issue here. If Republicans lose for the midterms, guess what? That's not our fault. It's not my job to motivate voters to go out there and vote. It's the job of the White House. It's the job of Republicans in both the Congress and obviously the Senate as well. So don't blame us when you lose. Blame yourselves for spending more time overseas worried about foreign countries. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit, like how Pam Bondi is trying to tell you that people will be arrested very, very soon. Don't hold your breath, though. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we have incredible discounts going on over at the shop. And of course, these discounts vary, and you also get a free t-shirt with no minimum required over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultra Methylene Blue, TheOxygenStore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We've got more exciting news coming your way today. In case you didn't know, today's a very big, big day. The United States is officially exiting the World Health Organization today. 1 year after President Trump signed that executive order directing us to withdraw. Now, as many of you guys know, this is big news, obviously something that RFK Jr. wanted from day one, and also the American people as well. So there's a lot to celebrate here. Unless, of course, you're a part of the World Health Organization. They're not very happy. According to Reuters, the WHO said that the United States still has not paid their fees it was owed for 2024 and 2025. Now, they're claiming we owe them roughly, you know, $260 million. Something tells me you're not going to get that money anytime soon. Good luck enforcing it. Maybe under another administration, if a Democrat ever makes their way into the office, they might get that back. But obviously, as many of you guys know, the World Health Organization says this is going to be a massive loss for them. probably because we were pretty much keeping it alive and keeping it afloat. Also trying to tell the United States that you should probably reconsider that coming from the WHO director general himself. And again, Bill Gates always finds his way into these stories. But Bill Gates even coming out there and saying, even all those convincing dinners where he met with President Trump, it still doesn't look like the U.S. is going to get back over into WHO, saying, I don't think the U.S. will be coming back to WHO in the near future. Yeah, I mean, it's probably the most honest thing Bill has ever said. So good news here, the United States officially making their exit from the World Health Organization today. Today's a great day. Today's a great day, right? We got our exit from the World Health Organization. We've also got Jack Smith, who is going to be testifying today publicly in just a few moments. And we've also got a healthcare CEO is going to make their way in front of the Ways and Means Committee today to testify. And I'm sure it's going to have a lot of politicians being very, very aggressive, of course, trying their best to get their soundbite in, but most importantly, actually asking the tough questions, because so many Americans in this country do not like these health insurance companies. Also going to be there, not just the insurance companies itself, but CVS will also be present as well. And they have obviously the massive pharmacies all across the country, even now taking over at Target as well. So this will be interesting and something I'll keep my eye on as well. And we'll have Sally Pipes on in the third hour of the show. She's someone who's been following this, studying this. And so she's going to help us all understand what's going on here in President Trump's push to not directly make the payments to the healthcare companies directly. He actually wants to give it to the American people. And so I just want her to map out what all of that's going to look like for both you and I. And she will do just that in the third hour of the program as well. But let's talk a little bit about justice, because we keep hearing that arrests are coming and we haven't seen anything. In clip six, Kristi Noem, who obviously isn't in charge of prosecuting, so this wouldn't be up her alley, but she's speaking out about what we can expect over the next few hours. And not just her, but Pam Bondi also making her appearance yesterday on Fox News as well. Take a listen to clip six.
And that pastor really did a remarkable thing there, trying to protect his parishioners.
And even the parishioners, I imagine, are felt and feel intimidated. And
they did. And there's going to be arrests in the next several hours, Greta. There will be arrests tied to that.
There's a database that's out right now involving people putting ICE agents' license plates and other information out there in the public. It's here in Minnesota. It's in other cities. Can those people expect to face federal charges?
They better look out, because you cannot dox, you cannot, law enforcement's information is private. And you wonder, why are our ICE officers wearing masks? To protect themselves from these people. We are going to do everything legally we can do to keep our men and women in law enforcement safe and the citizens of this state safe, so they can go to church, they can go to school, they can go to work, and they can feel safe. Minnesota has been a war zone with criminals, no longer under the Donald Trump administration.
You guys better look out. You better look out. Pam Bondi's coming for you. Don't you dare dox federal agents. I don't know, folks. I'm so tired of the sound bites. And it's like they crank her up and they turn her on and then she just gives you the same couple of sentences to fire up the boomer base, I guess. The reality of it is we haven't seen anything. And although she's claiming that these are going to come, these arrests are way over the time limit for any type of serious arrest taking place. I mean, we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen anything. So it makes for a great Fox News soundbite, but we haven't seen any action yet. We haven't. And that's the reason why so many Americans are frustrated. We've been sitting here and waiting and waiting and waiting. We keep hearing grand juries. We keep hearing about all these things popping up all over the place, but we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen anything. I hope that in the next few days that those who did walk into that church and try to intimidate those who were trying to worship, I do hope that they are arrested. Because the Biden regime set those standards. They went after the pro-lifers. They wrapped them up, threw them in prison for several years. All because they were peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics. So if we apply that same piece of legislation to all equally, which again, the Biden regime set those rules, they should have been rounded up and arrested by now. But again, Kristi Noem telling us, the DHS secretary, that that's going to happen soon, at the next couple of hours. Well, I've got my clock going, and we really hope that does happen because I'm so tired of these little sound bites. But again, even if they are arrested, this doesn't call it even because these are the arrests we want to see. Again, no major arrests when it comes to the core issues. Even President Trump is getting annoyed. The Biden auto pen scandal is the simplest win you could ever have. And yet they haven't taken this victory lap yet. Why? Because they won't do anything about it. James Comer getting angry over as the chairman. He's not happy. Why is he not happy? Because he keeps saying, I've given them everything we got, still no arrests. And they want them to head into midterms with zero major arrests. So no surprise there. This is what they keep doing. They keep going out there and telling you and I that things are going to happen, but we haven't seen anything. As many of you guys know, the Minneapolis mayor, Mayor Jacob Frey, is someone who is very open about his disliking for the federal government. In fact, he wanted Minneapolis PD to go to war with federal agents. We played that clip for you last week where he literally told Minneapolis PD, you know, the same group of law enforcement officers that they wanted to defund just a few years ago, that they better get ready. Our residents want them to be stopped, these federal agents, and that's the job of Minneapolis PD. That's what he said. That was his words. He wants war. He wants war in Minneapolis. And he's also admitting to a couple of crimes. In clip 7, he actually does just that last night. Take a listen.
In Minneapolis, we will not cooperate with ICE or any federal agency around immigration enforcement work. We will not. And there's a good reason, by the way, that we won't. And it's not just the moral imperative here.
Not the moral imperative here. Yeah, folks, that's the mayor. That's the mayor. Again, we did hear subpoenas went out, so we'll have to hear from him soon. But again, he is openly telling the American people he's not going to cooperate with ICE. He's not going to cooperate with any of them. He will protect his rapists, his murderers, his child predators. And there's nothing the federal government can do to stop him. That's what he's telling you. That's what he's telling you. And President Trump, he was very vocal a couple of days ago on Truth Social saying that DHS needs to focus on the crooks that they're getting in Minneapolis. They're trying. The media's not covering it, though. How do I know? Okay, I'm a part of the email list. I see it go out daily, 2 times, 3 times a day. They're keeping you updated on the guys that they get off the streets, the predators they're getting off the streets. Everything going on in Minneapolis is a fraud. Everything going on right now in Minneapolis is a fraud. There was a story that came out, too. This one will give you a good chuckle. Ah, we've got an update for you. Breaking news just coming in now. As I'm sitting here talking junk about Pam Bondi, well, guess what? Federal authorities have arrested an anti-ICE agitator after a mob stormed a church service in St. Paul. That's according to the AG herself. This coming from Fox News. It looks like this was just posted on Twitter, guys. Minutes ago, at my direction, HSI and the FBI agents executed an arrest in Minnesota. Nakima Armstrong, who allegedly played a key role in organizing the coordinated attack at City's church, apparently has been arrested. Well, that's news. Good news. But it's just one person. She wasn't there alone. Are you going to lock up Don Lemon? Don't be a coward, Pam Bondi. He described it as an operation several times. He didn't say it was a protest. He said operation. He put himself in that situation. Arrest Don Lemon. Don't be a coward. Don't be a coward. He's even referring to those who were just there to worship as white supremacists. Lock that troll up. Don't go with the easiest one, which is just a regular civilian. You're going to go after one. What's going to happen? They're going to start a Give, Send, Go page. All these NGO groups are going to pour into her legal fees so she can fight the case. How about you bankrupt them by arresting every single person that was there that day? Round them up. Round them up. Minneapolis is filled with fraud stories, and it's just overwhelming at some point. This one's quite interesting. Again, these are allegations. This has not been proven factually true yet, but neither has your story. There was a family of 8 traveling in their car who apparently got caught in the crossfire, according to this outlet, of protests that were taking place in Minneapolis. Now, they claimed that 3 of their 6 children, including a 6-month-old baby, were hospitalized because they were tear gassed. They said they were just caught in the crossfire. is what they told them. Now, they also said that they weren't a part of the protests. Now, interesting enough, there's an outlet that did some digging into all of this, not the Bee. Now, obviously, that's, you know, trying to say that we're not fake news. It's so insane, these stories, that it's not fake. But they've done some digging into all of this. And we can slowly scroll down on this because these parents raised $170,000 claiming that ICE gassed their kids on the way home of a basketball game. But apparently they're accusing them, and again, these are just allegations, of lying, saying that the father and the mother actually left the kids in the car and then ran off to the protest to join the protesters. Now, how do they know this? Well, apparently there's videos and they've circled the images, which they say are the parents participating in the protest. Now, again, CBS News, ABC News, and other outlets reported that the family apparently was not a part of the protest, but they're the parents, allegedly. Now, they have raised, which is so insane, in GoFundMe fees. They've raised a ton of cash. A ton of cash. Probably worth flagging so they don't get paid. Probably worth flagging so they don't get paid until this is proven to be factually true. But, you know, it doesn't really scream responsible parents when you stop at a violent protest and include your kids in that. Hey, but they got a $170,000 payout. Not too shabby. And it's not just happening. It's not just happening in Minneapolis. This is an interesting story that I found earlier today in Clip 8. I want to play this for you because News Nation actually is doing some great work in regards to investigating the fraud. And they have found something that's absolutely alarming. As many of you guys know, there was a massive shooting in Maryland a couple of years back, and over $6.6 billion was actually raised for the victims' families and survivors. Now, interesting enough, when you assume that $6.6 million is being raised, you assume that those funds are being dished out towards the victims' families. You assume it's going to go to a greater purpose. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case. It looks like nearly $2 million actually went to 29 nonprofits, including 9 of them being Somalian Link. Well, what does that mean? Take a listen to the report that was on News Nation earlier yesterday in Clip 9.
Well, our story clearly struck a nerve. You know, there's a lot of people here that are angry in Lewiston. There are calls for the DOJ to investigate. We're hearing from more victims and more survivors from this shooting. We're also hearing from survivors from other shootings across the country who are coming forward to say, we stand with Lewiston, and they're demanding that these monies be given to the victims.
It didn't really hit me and really upset me until I was in a position with a $93,000 hospital bill that I couldn't cover.
In Maine's worst shooting, Jennifer Zenka was shot twice. She endured multiple surgeries and then struggled to pay for them. Cases like Jennifer's are precisely why a local nonprofit, the Maine Community Foundation, established the Lewiston-Auburn Area Response Fund.
And they told us that night that 100% of the funds would go to the victims.
But things didn't work out as donors and victims' families thought they would. A year later, Amy Sussman, who lost her nephew Max in the shooting, uncovered that a big chunk of the money raised, $1.9 million, went not to the victims, but to 29 different nonprofits.
And I didn't understand that 9 of the 29 are for immigrants only, nonprofits that serve the immigrant community in Lewiston. Auburn Lewiston area, I guess.
Groups like Empowered Immigrant Women Unite, Generation Noor, New Mainers Public Health Initiative, the Somali Bantu Community Association, and Gateway Community Services, which has been accused of misusing taxpayer funds.
They raised money for nonprofits on the backs of 18 people who were murdered, 13 people who were shot, and 136 people who escaped their attempted murder. They used that to raise money for nonprofits.
Destiny Johnson also survived the shooting that night and is demanding answers.
You know, why would you give money to nonprofits that aren't even helping any of the survivors? It just doesn't make sense.
I guarantee you that these 29 nonprofits, the majority of them, did not help anyone from the mass shooting.
And that's what's going on right now. All across the country, people are starting to expose what's been going on with these immigration nonprofits, these Somalian groups. Folks, they've been stealing our money for years now, and people need to go to prison for the rest of their lives for this. But that's sadly not going to be the case. Why do we keep importing people from countries like this? Why? Why? A country that loves itself would never allow this to happen. That's just the reality of it. That's just the reality of it. All right, as many of you guys know, the Trump administration has been going to war with those who have been protesting outside of or inside of college campuses, specifically Columbia. This was a bigger issue back in 2025. As many of you guys know, a lot of people were fired up and heated on the subject matter and the White House stepping in and making some arrests, obviously. And those for were non-citizens at the time were getting their visas revoked. Well, there was one individual, I believe I'm saying it, Muhammad Khalil. He's an individual who has been very well known on the front of all of this. He's 30-year-old, and he was a pro-Palestinian activist over in Columbia University, where he formerly went to school, but he wasn't going to school, allegedly, at the time, according to multiple reports. But interesting enough, there's been a back and forth between the immigration judges who have been stepping in, and, you know, he was arrested by ICE, and he was released. Well, there was a ruling that came down yesterday that he actually is not even, the judge who issued his release isn't even, she's not even allowed to do that, was pretty much what happened. And so now DHS is reacting to that news in clip 10 and detailing where he's going next. Take a listen.
Mahmoud Khalil, who is the Syrian national who was detained and was scheduled for deportation after organizing and allegedly being part of a Columbia University apartheid divest group that is overtly pro-terrorism, praises terrorists like Yahya Sinwar, who killed dozens of Americans on October 7th. He was then released by a judge. Yeah. You guys just got a ruling that says that that judge had no jurisdiction to allow him to be released. Are there plans now to rearrest him and continue with deportation proceedings?
There are. And it looks like he'll go to Algeria. That's what the thought is right now. It's a reminder for those who are in this country on a visa or on a green card. You're a guest in this country. Act like it. It is a privilege, not a right, to be in this country to live or to study. And if you are pushing propaganda that relishes the killings of Americans or promotes terrorists, doors that way.
Yep. There's the door. Adios. That needs to be the tone for all of this at this point. Yes, American citizens have a First Amendment right. That I will not take away from them. This is not an American. This is a man who was here as a privilege, or I should say as a, maybe not a privilege. We were very kind to him. We were very kind to him. And he's obviously an empathizer for Islamic terrorists. And we'll leave it at that. So hopefully this sticks. You know, these nonprofits, these big liberal groups have been fighting for him. And they're not going to stop. They never do, of course. They never do. I want to play clip 11 for you now because Gavin Newsom, and we're going to talk about it too later in the show, but Gavin Newsom is at the World Economic Forum right now, and he's very fired up in regards to pushing back. He's not happy with President Trump because President Trump did diss him. But most importantly, he's not very happy when it comes to having to explain what happened during the California wildfires, because then he'd have to explain his own failures as governor, and whether or not those were intentional or not, well, that's still up in the air. Most of us do feel like you can't fail that badly. And Gavin Newsom does that quite often. But he was actually asked about this at the World Economic Forum yesterday. Take a listen to clip 11.
Look, are there problems?
For instance, you're supporting the mayor of L.A. for re-election after these terrible fires that a lot of your citizens do feel was part in part because of government mismanagement. Do you just reject that narrative that the government isn't anything to do with these
things? I absolutely accept that we all should be held to a higher level of accountability in terms of our governance. And I think there's many areas of reforms that are necessary, and so many areas of reforms that were underway. We can get into the specifics of any one of these issues. But the general notion that in the middle of winter, with 100-mile-an-hour winds were attached to a fire, that somehow, by the way, there were 16 major fires in Southern California over a two-week period, that somehow that had to do with fire hydrants, is rather preposterous.
Yeah, it probably had to do with the fact that you didn't fill up the water reservoir as you were instructed several times, or clean up your forests, which obviously President Trump has been telling you about for, like, what, 5 years now? So no empathy there. No empathy there. This guy is a forever troll, and it's really just infuriating that he continues to go out there and pretend like he has no part in any of this. No part. Again, folks, we're going to keep our eye on this. We're going to be talking about Newsom as well, because Newsom is playing the victim card on a lot of fronts. And we look forward to talking about that in a little bit with our panel. Larry Taunton will be joining us, as well as Jetica Pounds, a.k.a. Data Republican, in the third hour of the program. And speaking of all of that, I also wanted to tell you, this is a little bit of a happier story, I guess. Let's talk about Barron Trump for a second. We're now learning the details behind a story that is quite incredible. Barron Trump saved a female friend of his when she was being assaulted by an ex-boyfriend. Apparently, this female friend's life was on the line, and she apparently had tried calling Barron. Apparently, it was a FaceTime call to tell him that she was in distress back in January 2025. During the call, he apparently heard her screaming and being beaten by her ex-boyfriend, who was allegedly jealous of his friendship or her friendship with Barron Trump. Barron told the 911, or I guess in the UK it would be the 999 operator, "I just got a call from a girl I know. She's getting beaten up. It's really an emergency, please." And gave her address. Police responded, and the woman later testified during court that Barron, quote, "saved my life, calling the timely call a sign from God." Barron explained he heard her crying, blows for about 10 to 15 seconds before the call cut off. And so he did, in fact, call police, who apparently saved her, which is incredible, which is absolutely incredible. So a bit of a good story. You know, Barron's kind of a mystery. We don't really hear from him much, but probably for the best, he's so young. But that's a really, really incredible young man. And I'm sure his parents are very proud of him. I'm sure they're very proud of him. Not many people are able to raise children to this level of excellence. He seems like an absolute gentleman. And we love hearing the updates on what Barron Trump is doing. But he's an incredible, incredible young man. And this is by far one of my favorite moments of Barron Trump. As many of you guys remember, when he was being inaugurated, it was a big night as well. All right, folks, we've got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. So buckle up. More show kicking off in the second hour. And as many of you guys know, Jack Smith is making his way right now to the congressional hearing where he's going to be testifying publicly. Once that begins, we'll bring that right to you because, of course, there's probably going to be some really good gems dropped in his testimony. But in the meantime, folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because with every purchase you make over at the shop, we're going to give you a free T-shirt. This is a limited edition shirt. It is a $40 value that you get for free. No minimum required over at thealexjonesstore.com to get this T-shirt. Of course, folks, it's thank you because when you support us over at thealexjonesstore.com, you keep us up and running. And we can't do this without you. So if you'd like to claim your free gift of a free T-shirt, you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Make a purchase, no minimum required, and you'll get this shirt for free. Again, every order will get this T-shirt for free. And there's a ton of discounts going on right now at the shop. So head on over there, click around, see what you're interested in. And thank you for supporting us. We greatly appreciate it, as always, over at thealexjonesstore.com. More underway next.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.